One of my favorite things to do at vacation and special days is to look in the newspapers to see the church ads and the sermon titles. They're very interesting at Christmas and also at Easter. And yesterday I ran across a new one, a new word. It's called Holy Superette Light Church. And Dan points out that might be a French word, superette. It's S-U-P-E-R-E-T. Holy Superette Light Church. Los Angeles, of course. That's where they go. Why Jesus said peace three times. Peace must be born of light. And Jesus had to develop peace with three different light vibrations through three different light degrees.
Amen.
Communion service, highest peace, light. So that's one among many. It's interesting, isn't it? That you have that kind of thing going on, really weird things. And then you have people in churches whom we would think believe the gospel, but they don't. And those pastors wake up this morning with a headache because they don't believe the gospel, they don't believe the resurrection, and they're going to have to explain it away somehow. And I'm so thankful to be with you here this morning with delight, with joy, with peace, with the grace of God, because I believe the gospel and I believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about for a little while. As you think about that, there are many things in life that don't seem to matter. That is, they don't have any influence, they don't have any effect, they don't change anything. You say, well, Bill, what would be some of those things? Well, whether the California Angels win the pennant or not really doesn't matter. Or maybe how bad the Lakers beat, or how bad Boston beats the Lakers in the playoffs. Doesn't matter. Or the color of my tie. You don't really care, do you? Doesn't matter. Whether I had two servings for breakfast, doesn't care. They don't matter. Whether I sing a solo or not, doesn't matter. It does. There are some things in life that really do matter. The one thing that matters the most is what Bill referred to as Paul talked about the significance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while everything about him is important and everything matters, his birth, his virgin birth, is essential and vital. His sinless life is a part of the gospel. His death on the cross to bear the sin of his people is vital. And yet, without the resurrection, we would wonder about those things. The resurrection seems to be the stamp of approval upon everything else. And that his atonement is adequate and sufficient is marked by the resurrection. God raised him from the dead because everything else is right. So it matters. Let's think about it this morning in three ways, and on the back of your new sheet there is an outline if it'd be helpful for you to follow. First of all, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as a fact, the fact of it. And if you've been going to church several years, probably at every Easter you go over this, and I do, and yet it's a thrilling thing to consider once again the literal historical event and the facts of it. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 28, the first few verses, where we have recorded for us the event of the resurrection. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." Now, what we're talking about here is a literal event in history. It's not a myth. It's not just a tradition or a legend. It's real. That must hit us again. No matter how many years you have been a Christian, let this fact enter your heart and permeate your being. The Jesus Christ who was born in Nazareth, who walked the land of Palestine and taught and ministered and died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, is no longer dead. He is alive. That's the fact of it. Now, it's amazing in the Word of God how we have great details that help us. How can you believe this? Well, think of what we know about it. We know about the time. The Holy Spirit is careful here to give us the time, even the time of the day. He talks about the people who went there to the grave. He talks about the stone that was too heavy for humans to move, the appearance of the angel, the empty grave, the appearances to the disciples. And as Paul comments on that, he said that Jesus appeared at one time to 500 people at one time. He was here for 40 days. He talks about the soldiers and their amazement and how the Jewish leadership were afraid and they bribed the guards, the soldiers, to tell a different story. It's important that we review the fact and we let this sink into our being. This is real. And we're not here to celebrate just a tradition, but a thing that is real. The fact of it is important. For a moment, we consider the power of it. The fact of the resurrection leads us to think about the power that's taking place here. Through the years, I've been with many people and many families at the time of death in the family, church people and unchurched people, and many times I've been called upon to be with people in the community who don't go to church, who have had a family member die, and to talk with them in their home, to be with them during the service, to be with them at the graveside, and think through death with them, and see the anguish on their heart and the hopelessness that is present, and how they would give anything to be able to bring life out of death. And there we are, powerless humanity. In spite of all the advances of technology and the rapid pace we are making to learn about new inventions and new things, when it comes to death, we are powerless. There's nothing we can do about it. And yet in the presence of God, we see the power of life. The power of life over death. And when we see our Lord Jesus Christ walk out of that tomb, we see life over death. The body that he died with is the body that walked out of the grave. That's life over death. That's amazing. Here is power such as we will never see among humans, life over death. When Peter is preaching that first sermon on the day of Pentecost, we have recorded in Acts 2:23 that Peter explains to the people there that it was God the Father who put his Son on the cross by his predestinated purpose. It was in the determined counsel and will of God that Jesus should die on the cross. Then it says that it was not possible that death could hold him, that he was raised from the dead. And what a glorious thought that is for us this morning, that it was not possible for death to hold our Lord Jesus Christ. He walked out. And he came back to that body with life. That's power. That is real power. Now, as the world thinks of power this morning, they probably think of the explosion of a nuclear weapon. And here we're talking about something that is far more powerful than that. The fact of the resurrection and the power of it. Now, with those two things in mind, let's look at the meaning of the resurrection in three ways. First of all, what does it mean to the world at large? Bill mentioned that people all over the world are going to celebrate and think about the resurrection of Christ. And in some way, the whole world at large is thinking about it because it is an event that grabs the attention of all people, whether they believe it or not, or whether they're involved, at least they're thinking about the fact that some people are acknowledging the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by the world at large? I'm thinking about the political world, the military world, the medical world, the educational world, the scientific world, the religious world, the world at large, the peoples of the world, what does that mean to them that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead? Well, it may not mean so much to them now, but it will become increasingly important to their life because his resurrection is the foundation for his return. If Jesus Christ is dead and gone, then the world will never again be affected or have anything to do with him. But because he is raised from the dead and he predicted his resurrection, he said he's going to return, and he will. And when he returns, he will rule. He is not coming again to be spit upon, to be kicked, to be beaten, to be rejected. He's coming again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will take over completely. And it isn't that he isn't ruling now, he is. But it will be more visible and more realistic when he returns. So as we think about the world at large, what do we say? What will be the outcome of world history? Who will, in fact, rule the world? Now, you think of the empires that have come and gone. And probably the people who lived at the time of the rule of those empires thought, well, this will never change. This is going to go on forever. In Genesis 11, we have a powerful man named Nimrod, who built a strong civilization. God came along and tore up that empire. The Babylonians conquered the Israelites and had Nebuchadnezzar, and they probably thought, this is going to go on forever. the Medo-Persians came along and conquered the Babylonians. The Greeks under Alexander came along and conquered the Babylonians. And then the Roman Empire rises, and that looks like this is it. This must be the rule forever. And then it falls. And now we have another group, another empire, that seeks the dominion of the world and is gaining ground rapidly. Nation after nation, country after country is falling prey to communism and coming under the slavery of communistic dictatorship. And it appears that nothing is going to stop it. And we'll say, well, maybe that will be the final, prevailing, ultimate ruling power. Not so. No political power, no military unit, no religious group will rule the world ultimately. It will be our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been exalted to the highest place, and who has the name that is above every name. And when he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what we are confessing this morning, that he is Lord, and he will rule. That's what it means. So as you read your newspaper and as you interpret history today, while we are concerned, we don't need to live in utter panic and fear, because we know the outcome. We know that our Lord is ultimately powerful and he will rule. That's what it means to the world. And we need to let them know that. That's our message. That's our missionary message, that Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord. Now then, what would the resurrection mean to the individual living in the world? Not the organizations, not the military powers as a group, but just to individuals in the world. What does the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ mean to each one? It means to the individual believer in the world that he is the judge. He is the one who judges. They are not judged by their neighbor. And they are not judged by church members, which is the kind of response you get when you talk to people about the Lord. And they will always want to compare with another human being. Well, I'm good, and I'm as good as my neighbor. And more than that, I'm better than some of your church members. What do you want me to say? Live it up, folks. I got an answer for you. No, that's true, isn't it? We don't hide behind anything. But that's the way they compare. Now, would you turn with me to John chapter 5, and let's read what the Word of God has to say about Christ as the judge. We'll begin reading at verse 16, John chapter 5, verse 16. Every being is accountable to him. He is the standard of judgment. And that standard then is perfection and sinlessness. And we will be judged on that basis unless he is our Savior. Chapter 5, verse 16 of the Gospel of John. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but because he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things He does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And he goes on to elaborate about that. And there are many people who talk in vague terms about God. Yes, I believe in God, and that is inadequate. What we have to talk about specifically is the God who is the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. He is the judge. It is to him we answer. He is the one who determines eternal destiny. It says that he gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. We are answerable to him. If we want eternal life, it has to come from him. It cannot come from us. So what does it mean to the individual living in the world? It means eternal destiny. Either to be separated from him forever, which is hell, or to be with him forever, which is heaven. This is serious talk. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can't be passed over lightly. It affects every human being, believer and unbeliever. To the unbeliever, it means judgment. Even if people have been very religious, it means nothing. To those who are indifferent, they face judgment. To those who are the selfish, who say, through my self-esteem, I will be good enough, they will face judgment. Every one. Jesus said to some people, when they came to him and said, Lord, Lord, have we not done these many religious things in your name? And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. See how directly and specific we have to become in our relationship with God. To go through religious rituals is not enough. To perform in Christian leadership is inadequate. Anyone can do that. But to believe and trust him as our Lord and Savior means everything. So for every one of us here this morning, and for every person, individual, living in the world, it means heaven or hell. And he is the determiner. And we come to him for eternal life. So we have considered the meaning to the world at large, the meaning of the resurrection to individuals in the world. Let's consider then what it means to the believer. What is it to us this morning who believe? Well, the resurrection provides a basic guarantee for a whole lot of things that we could take a year to consider and never exhaust going through the meaning of the resurrection to the believer. It is the guarantee. It's the guarantee for the fulfillment of all the rest of the promises of God. Do you remember what we read in Matthew 28:6? The angel said, he is not here, he is risen as he said. Now, when Jesus was walking with the disciples and teaching them and talking to them, he said, I am going to Jerusalem, I am going to be crucified, and I will rise again the third day. That's what he said. That's what the angel is talking about. That's why he's saying he is risen just as he said. He said he would. That's his claim. That's his promise. And he did rise. And so as we open the Bible, and we have all the Word of God. If he can come through with this claim, if he can keep this promise, what promise then could be in doubt? what word of God could you doubt if he can bring life out of death? Well, there's nothing to doubt. Here's the guarantee, the verification of the Word of God, the guarantee that all the promises and all the Word of God is true and right. What a great thing that is this morning to have a Bible. If you have a Bible in your home, you have a very precious possession. What a great thing. Now, one of the things you could do on Easter Sunday is to go home and dust it off and get it out off the mantle there and pick it up and start to read it and trust all the promises of God, just as he said. The resurrection is also the guarantee to us of the perfection of the atonement. If Jesus, if the sacrifice of Christ, when he died on the cross, was not an adequate offering to pay for the sins of God's people, he would not have been raised from the dead. Now you think about that. He is declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. And the reason that we can believe in forgiveness and have the security of our salvation is because he has risen from the dead. And we can talk about justification. We can talk about being right with God. We could talk about an eternal inheritance. We can talk about heaven. We can talk about glory. We can talk about the day when we'll be sinless. We can talk of eternal life with him and with each other. We can talk of his rule and reign when he comes in power and glory to rule the world. It means so much to us. And the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ establishes the power for daily Christian living. I remember in my days as an unbeliever, I probably went from probably 9 years old until I'm 27 or so, and I never darkened the door of a church. But I knew people went to church, and I knew there was a church crowd, and I knew that they were different than I was. And I used to always think, well, I know they're right and I'm wrong, but I don't think I could live like that. I just couldn't hold out. Even if I went to church, I couldn't hold out. I'd be right back in the same old life. And then when the Lord came and saved me, it was shown to me in his word that he is the one who keeps me living. It isn't me. It's resurrection power. And the power that raised our Lord from the dead is the power that lives in us today and works in us. That takes me through my sin and your sin. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have not yet reached sinless perfection. I think that's a safe prediction about this crowd, and if anybody wants to challenge that, why, you do so. I remember there was a meeting once where that challenge was made, and is there anybody here living in sinless perfection? And a fellow in the back stood up and gave his testimony, and the leader of the meeting said, now let's hear from your wife. And that ended that. So here we are and we're struggling. What takes us through the defeat of our own sinfulness as a Christian? It's the risen Lord living through us. What takes me through trials and the tragedies of life, the failures, the valleys, the depressions, the fears, the conflicts that I have with people, the times when I think I've been treated unjustly, what takes us through that? Well, there's no human help. It's the hope and power of the resurrected Lord what's going to take us through life here as this world gets worse and more perilous times come upon us? What will take us through? A risen Lord, the power of His resurrection in us. So we have considered this morning the fact of the resurrection, the power of it, the meaning of it to the world at large, to the individuals in the world as unbelievers, to us who are believers. And here we've come on Easter Sunday in April of 1987. And God has sent each one of us here for a purpose. He has predestinated us to be right here where you are this morning. And probably in the very chair in which you're sitting, although I wouldn't want to try to prove that right now, but think about it. You're here by His purpose. Now, what response comes to your heart today? How do you respond to this? There is one response that covers everything. And that one response is to trust Him. And if you will not trust Him, then you face Him as judge. If you will trust Him in the gospel presented here and come to Him for salvation, He is your Savior. He is your Lord. You will be with Him. And if we trust Him now, with whatever circumstance we are in now, we will see the power of His resurrection helping us through whatever condition we are in this morning as a believer. And some of us could be very depressed. And some of us could be here this morning full of fear. And some of us could have some very, very important decisions to make. And some of us could be on the edge of anxiety. Christian? Absolutely. Needing help? You better believe it. Trust Him. The thing that will bring glory to His holy name is simply to trust Him. And live a Christian life, being an advertisement that our Lord is risen. And you and I have no right to live as though He is dead. He is risen, just as He said. Let's bow for prayer.